Our redemption draws near. Our redemption draws near, our Lord tells us in this morning's gospel lesson. And yet the world is a very dangerous place. And it doesn't take someone to be working in the intelligence community to know this, to have some basic understanding of the malice and evil that abounds around the globe, which presents a threat to our safety and security as American citizens. And yet the CIA and the intelligence community speaks of a tendency of our nation to settle into, to lull ourselves into a naive apathy and disbelief with respect to those very real threats. They cite the typical attitudes of Americans prior to the Pearl Harbor attacks in 1941, when all seemed well in the world of the United States. And those similar attitudes of the people, the American people, prior to the 9/11 attacks in 2001. And now, even in the wake of the terrorist attacks, which occurred just 2 weeks ago, there is a prevailing sense that it won't happen here. Perhaps there's something deeply seated in our human psychology that causes us to retreat to a place of apathy, indifference, naivete, and ignorant disbelief. That in the face of potential and imminent danger, which we perhaps find to be too overwhelming to consider, to contemplate, we simply stick our heads in the sand, withdraw to a virtual, and I would say a delusional, place of safety and security of our own imaginings, to ignore those threats, and to cry out as the people of Israel did during the time of the prophet Jeremiah, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Whether through deliberate indifference, naivete, or disbelief, or apathy, or a lack of situational awareness, as what it's often referred to tactically by the people, it is itself a threat to our safety and security when the reality remains that we live in a very dangerous world. We live in a very dangerous world, and yet our redemption draws near. And this morning, at the beginning of this new liturgical year, on this first Sunday of Advent, our readings declare to us this very same message. Our redemption draws near, but in our routines and in the daily grind of life, in the enticements of the world, and in the disordered passions of the flesh, and even in our familiarity with the things of the Christian faith, we have that same tendency to lull ourselves into a place of spiritual apathy and indifference and a state of spiritual slumber. The gospel lesson this morning from the 21st chapter of St. Luke is a parallel account of the gospel reading from last Sunday, the last Sunday after Pentecost, and that gospel being from Matthew 24. It is Jesus teaching his disciples on the signs of end times. It is oftentimes referred to as the eschatological discourse. That is, the eschatology being the last things, the end times. And Jesus is describing here, what he's describing is these signs that will occur within the created order, visible signs that will be perceived and perceptible to all those living in the world. He's describing there that cosmic signs of that involve the sun and the moon and the stars and the heaving of oceans, the roaring of the seas, and he's talking about the conflict that will occur between the nations, distress of nations, he says. And what Jesus is describing is the cosmic labor and travail of the world, if you will, in preparation or just imminent at his imminent return of the second advent of our Lord, in which he will suddenly come, not in the humility of an infant in a manger, but rather with great power, with great glory, not in obscurity, but so that all the world will know. And Jesus says in verse 28 of Luke 21, he says, "When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Now, it's important for us to understand that Jesus' teaching of end times is not for the purpose of trying to lay out some timetable, some prophetic timetable that we can try and predict when the second coming of Christ will be, as a lot of people have made the mistake of doing, but is rather a teaching to prompt us, to urge us to live soberly, to be continually watching and waiting, to be aroused from our perennial tendency to be lulled into spiritual apathy and slumber. You see, Jesus said that this generation will by no means pass away till all these things have been fulfilled. And for those listening, for the disciples listening to this teaching, it perhaps was interpreted to mean that they wouldn't see death, that the Lord would come again in their own earthly lifetime. But Jesus isn't referring to the generation of a man. Rather, Jesus is referring to the generation of the church. Since Pentecost, we have abided in end times. And during the course of those centuries, there's the tendency for us to kind of think, well, he hasn't come in 2,000 years. Why should I be so concerned about my way of life? Or to be lulled into that sense of everything is safe. And the same message is one that is given by St. Paul. But first, in understanding what Jesus is teaching, when he said, "Stand up and lift up your heads," there's the inference here that the person that he is commanding is one that has taken up a posture of slothfulness, of laziness and slumber. They have become prone. They have closed their eyes to the world and to the things of God. But Jesus is saying, "Stand up. Get up from your bed. Get up from your lazy boy chair. Lift up your head. Pay attention. Have some situational awareness. See what God is revealing for all those who are willing to see with the eyes of faith." And the same message resounds in our epistle lesson this morning in St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, when he declares in Romans 13, beginning in 13:11, and he says, "And do this." And what's the context for this when he says, "And do this"? Well, if you look in the verses before, he's describing our command to show God's love by loving our neighbor. By loving our neighbor. And he's saying, "And do this," that is, "and love your neighbor, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." He says, the time, now it is high time to wake out of sleep. It is the same message that our Lord is giving us. To stand up, to wake out of our slumber, our spiritual slumber, our apathy, our indifference, our laziness. And he said, and St. Paul says, the night is far spent. The church fathers understood that the night, the darkness, is the things of this world, the values of this world, the darkness of the world, that has turned from the revealed truth of God. And the night is far spent because Christ has come. Christ is incarnate. Christ is revealed in his church. And therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. I want us to notice that word, armor. Armor. Armor is not something that is to be used in times of peace, is it? But rather times of warfare. Yes, there is indeed the reality that we can know and should know the peace of God. The peace of God which exists whereby we were once at enmity with God. But through Jesus Christ, he has breached that chasm. He has restored to us the ability to once again be in communion and union with our Lord. So there is a sense in which we through Christ and by God's grace are at peace. And it is a peace which passes all understanding. And yet Scripture tells us, and we need to be reminded, at the same time, we do not abide in a world of peace and safety. We're in a place of spiritual warfare where there are all kinds of threats around us, where we are called to go into battle, to be soldiers of the cross, to battle against our own disordered passions, the enticements of our flesh, which war against us, where we war against the ideologies and virtues of this world, which stand in direct opposition to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world is a very dangerous place, and we need to be aroused on this first Sunday of Advent out of our slumber, to stand up, to lift up our heads, to know that our redemption draws near. Yes, we all want to be in a safe place, don't we? We all want to be in a safe place, but in being called to do battle against the powers of darkness, you're not going to find being a Christian as Christ has called us to be a safe place. In fact, Christ himself is not safe. This was so well illustrated in C.S. Lewis's fantasy works, The Chronicles of Narnia, in which he, through the literary genre of fantasy, is able to present some of the wonderful truths of the Christian faith. And there in the book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Susan and Lucy ask Mr. and Mrs. Beaver to tell them about Aslan the lion. And it's no secret that Aslan is representative of Christ. C.S. Lewis himself tells us that. And so in asking about Aslan, who is this lion figure, they ask if Aslan is a man. And Mr. Beaver replies, "Aslan a man? Certainly not. I tell you, he is the king of the woods and the son of the great emperor beyond the sea. Don't you know who is the king of beasts? Aslan is a lion. The lion, the great lion." "Ooh," said Susan. "I'd thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." "That you will, dearie. And make no mistake," said Mrs. Beaver. "If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or else just silly." "Then he isn't safe?" said Lucy. "Safe," said Mr. Beaver. "Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about being safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you." And you see in these books, The Chronicles of Narnia, we see Aslan appearing principally as a lion, but also he appears as a lamb, both as a lamb and a lion. But there's a sense sometimes, and as we go through the course of our Christian life, as we begin to develop intimate encounters with our Lord, as we should, personal encounters with our Lord, as we should, as we receive Christ as our dear friend, just as he has received us as friends, and we should. There is a sense in which we simply approach Christ as only being the Lamb, as only being that good buddy and friend. And we begin to have an idolatrous view of who he is. We begin to lose the sense of his divinity, the sense that he is also a lion, that he is not safe. He is not safe in the face of our own indifference and apathy. He is not safe in the face of our own idolatrous views of him. He is not safe as we begin to approach our faith as simply punching a card and going through the motions. He is not safe as we have turned a deaf ear to the cries of the poor and to the needs of the hungry. He is not safe as we have failed to be obedient to God. He is not safe as we have avoided the confessional, believing that somehow God will just wink and nod and say, boys will be boys, and thinking my sins are all that not that profound after all. He is not safe because he is also a lion. And we need to be jolted out of our own spiritual slumber to stand up at this Advent, to lift up our heads, knowing that our redemption draws near. No, to follow Christ is not safe because we have been called to take up our cross daily. Daily. To take up our cross daily and to follow him. To follow him means clearly a death of self, a death of the ways of life that we have tried to withdraw and finding some sense of safety and comfort as we have one foot in the world and one in the kingdom. The way of the cross is not the way of safety, but it is the way by which we find salvation and eternal life. Garrett Swayze was a world-class figure skater from the area of Boston, Massachusetts, and after many years of competing in the international figure skating competition, he finally retired from figure skating to take up a career after moving to Colorado to become a police officer. And he joined the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs Police Department. And at age 44 years of age, Officer Swayze, who was a devout Christian, an elder in his local evangelical Christian church, a man when he was not working, was serving God, was helping to really enflesh the truth of the gospel in his opposition to many of the atrocities of our society, especially the atrocity of abortion, of the murdered of the unborn. And yet, quite ironically, and quite tragically, as we know, this past Friday, just 2 days ago, when a deranged killer entered an abortion clinic close to the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs, and began shooting people at that clinic, Officer Swayze was one of the first to arrive on the scene. And we know very tragically that he lost his life. He laid down his life in protection for the very people who evidently had embodied many of the beliefs that he had opposed. You see, Officer Swayze had been recorded or has been quoted as saying by some of his friends and fellow parishioners that he was willing to demonstrate his own life in Christ, his own love for his fellow man, by being willing to lay down his life. Perhaps not ever really recognizing that that day would come. And I think that this is an example. It is illustrative, even in the face of this tragedy, of the call that we have been given to take up our cross, to be jolted out of our slumber, our spiritual apathy and indifference, our own lack of spiritual discipline, our own overfamiliarity with the ineffable mysteries of the divine, with the holiness of God in the face of our own unholiness, to see in this officer Swayze the selfless love of God being lived out for our fellow man, to be inflamed with the love of the divine, so that we may see our call to take up the cross also, to put on the armor of God, to know that while it is not safe, that Christ is not safe, that we lead in the way and have been or being led in the way of everlasting. The world is a dangerous place, and the way of Christ, the way of the cross, is also not safe. But the good news is that our redemption draws near. That our redemption draws near. That in abandoning safety for the sake of Christ and his kingdom, to be willing to arise from our slumber and put on the armor of God, we may become heirs to the wonderful and eternal promises of Christ and his word, which shall never pass away. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.